Hello and welcome to back to the Millennial 2018. This is the second night, and we're starting off with Der Volk's Letter. Is that well, Nikolai, who has a channel called Der Volk's Letter. He is from Germany, and welcome to Millennial.
Yeah, hi Colin. Thanks very much for inviting me. I'm very glad to speak on your channel.
Right. Could you introduce yourself to the audience, just because some of them won't know about your channel. So could you tell them about yourself and about the channel, and what it's for, what you do with it?
Yeah, sure. So I used to be a primary school teacher, and I've been working in Berlin for almost 10 years. And like 1 year ago, I started my YouTube channel because the conditions in Germany developed in a very bad way, and I just couldn't stand there and witness how my country like gets completely rotten. So I decided to speak out, which I first did not on a YouTube channel, but in public, and accidentally some of my actions were filmed and put on YouTube. So I found out that that's a good way how I can speak to the public and yeah, pass over my ideas. And that developed quite well. I talked to some high-ranked politicians of Germany. I also spoke to the Chancellor Angela Merkel. So I confronted her with the situation that she brought us Germans in. And by that I mean the mass of immigrants that are called refugees, but we know they aren't refugees, they are immigrants. And on my school at that year, out of 68 new first graders, only one had no migration background. And I confronted her with this fact to hear what she says about it. And well, as you can imagine, she didn't say anything, but her security got me out of the room. But I filmed all this and published it, so it was great. And my headmaster of my school, she was a bit worried about my activities on YouTube because also my pupils sometimes saw my videos. And after a while, it really got quite I would say I got quite famous at my school and in Berlin. And the newspaper wrote about the case that I'm a teacher, and in the evening I'm a hater, like this. You know, they were not so amused with what I did. So they started up a big campaign against me, like a
Oh,
trolling campaign. Yeah,
right.
and that's what got me out of my job. So my principal says, okay, well, maybe it's better if you don't come to school on Monday, because on Monday there was like a huge crowd of camera teams and journalists there because they wanted to speak to the Nazi teacher.
Oh, yes, okay.
Oh, yes,
That kind of
okay. That kind of
intimidation.
intimidation.
But your audio isn't very good, so could you switch off your camera? Could you deactivate that? I think that would help with the audio quality.
What about this now? Is it better now?
Oh yes,
Can you
that's
hear?
much better, yes.
It's much better. Okay, because I had an external microphone, maybe it wasn't good.
Right, okay, thank you. I should have checked that before we went on air. Okay, so they were a sort of intimidation campaign then from the media.
Yeah, exactly. Because at one venue, I met up with a lady who did very much for our beautiful city. She was the initiator of the Holocaust Memorial, which we have like in the heart of Berlin. And many don't appreciate it that we have this huge memorial and it's not even beautiful in the heart of our city. It was due to her engagement, and she had an what is it called, podium discussion, like a discussion group where we could discuss the new party which entered the German parliament, the AfD, Alternative for Deutschland. Yeah, so that's a right-winged party, and I'm quite glad that it is in the
parliament now, even though it might be a Zionist organization. I'm not so sure about it. But there was this discussion about this party and that they are so evil and so bad. And what should we do with it now? Discuss with them or just ignore them? Yeah, and I went there and I discussed with the audience there and the participants of this round. And there was also a journalist from a Berlin newspaper, daily newspaper. And of course, I mean, all the newspapers here, I would say, are in Zionist hands. So it's quite clear how they write about a tall, blonde German guy who speaks out for Germany. And that's why they started this campaign. And they were quite successful in their eyes. I mean, I got kicked out of my school. But on the other hand, now I have so much free time to do my work. I mean, I publish a video almost every day and I'm traveling around the country and I became really famous by their campaign. You know, I was in all the mainstream.
That's hilarious. It's so funny how the mainstream media do this. It was the same when I got doxxed. I gained 5,000 subscribers. So that I think I had 20,000. So it increased my channel by 25%. And it sounds like it's the same with you. It's a really strange thing that they don't realize that when they do this, they're actually helping us in a way.
Well, either they don't realize, or, I mean, you know, I'm a conspiracy theorist. Like, I hate this word, but well, I can't help. Or they want our work. You know, we never know. It's so tricky sometimes, and we don't know what they have in stock for us. Maybe they want a part of the people wake up and then maybe start a riot. I have no idea. I mean, they could have easily closed YouTube channels, right? They could have closed your channel. They could have closed my channel. It happens all the time, but they didn't so far. So I don't know. I don't hope, but it could be possible that we also serve their interests in a way that I by now cannot really understand, but you never know.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's very difficult to work out what's going on because they do need people that they can demonize. Can single out and say, "Der Volksleiter, don't ever be like him. He is evil," and so on. And millennial was the vile vlogger and etc. And they called me a racist scumbag and all that. I mean, I'm sure you've had exactly the same things said about you.
Yeah, of course. I mean, they are working on an international level. So all over the world, I think they have to push this agenda through. So they have to demonize us truth seekers and speakers. So, yeah, that's happening all over the world. It's so obvious.
Yeah, indeed. So how did you first, what were you like when you were 20 years old? Were you left-wing, liberal, centrist, or right-wing at that point?
No. So I come from a quite left-winged surrounding, society, family. My father used to be a communist, or he has been a communist ever since, and he still is. Well, my mother is more from the hippie side, but they were never national or right-winged. Surely not. I am the first who developed in this direction. And it all happened in 2013, I think. Before that, I was really, I would say I was a leftist. When I was 20, I had long hair and I went to demonstrations against atomic energy and against deportation. No border, no nation, no deportation. I was screaming this once. So, of course, I was like all my mates, I was left. Because you couldn't be right when you were grown up in West Germany. It was so clear. So if you wanted to belong to the to your friends and mates, you got to be left, of course. That's what I was like. But then I kind of stumbled about some truth in the internet. I think the first thing was the Sandy Hook massacre, which was quite interesting because Until then, I believed it happened, like I learned from the mainstream media. But then when I, on Facebook, I stumbled across some videos that proved that the Sandy Hook massacre was just a hoax. And that was really triggering me. And then I started to discover more and more and more. And of course, 9/11 was one big thing where I really found, okay, this is all staged, but if such a huge thing is staged, ooh, they are so powerful. What else could they have done? Well, and that's when I began to look at the German history. Well, and as you can imagine, I found incredible things there. Well, sadly, I'm not allowed to talk about all this, but yes.
Yeah, of course, of course. Yeah, quite incredible things, mm-hmm. I can imagine. So that was 2013, 2014. And then in 2015, the migrant crisis began. I forgot what it's called German. So it was the conspiracy truth element on the internet. That was your first sort of red pilling, as it were. And then what happened?
Yeah, then I noticed it everywhere around me. And as you mentioned, the migration crisis here in Germany, that was one big thing where I really learned, okay, this cannot be right. When all this young girls or women beyond the fertile age stood there and threw teddy bears at them, and the Willkommenskultur, so the culture of welcoming, was a big thing in Germany, and all were celebrating themselves for being so open and so friendly and so humanic, and the media was like, only one opinion. It is good to welcome the migrants. And I thought, it cannot be good. I mean, if millions come into our city, into our country, it cannot be good. And on my way to school, I was always cycling by the registration office where they first had to register when they came to Berlin. And every day it was a big crowd. They were camping on the pavement and in the park nearby, and it was like all rotten and it smelled because they were pissing there and cooking and stuff. It was horrible, yeah. But the media told us it is great. And I think a year before that, it was also with the Ukraine crisis, you know, where Russia...
That was interesting. That's when... Yeah, you can't help white refugees, but you've got to help brown refugees.
I don't think that there were refugees from this crisis. But to me...
Oh, it was right, okay.
No. But the media was so... this is when I discovered that the media is lying to us, because on every newspaper you found the opinion that Putin was the bad guy and the EU is something great, and of course the... USA and NATO is the best you can have. But when I started reading a left-winged newspaper, then I discovered that they have a completely different view on the situation. And first, I was reading this left-winged newspaper because in this case, they spoke the truth. They said that it was not an invasion of Russia or a secession of the Crimea. It was all fine and all good because the people voted for being Russian there. It was all good. So all the, the punishment against Russia and the economical blockings and I just forgot the name for it, but never mind. So all this was unfair.
And sanctions.
Yes. All the sanctions. That was just wrong. Yeah. And then came the migration crisis. And so I stopped believing in media at all. I don't think that there is any newspaper, any media outlet in Germany which I really could trust now. There are some that write good articles most of the time, but not in any case.
Yeah, that is a scary moment when you realize that you don't trust any of the mainstream media anymore. Like, up until then, everyone has one newspaper that they generally rely on or trust and so on. But then eventually you get to this point where you think, they're all lying to me. They're all engaged in creating a fabric of lies and untruth, which is a very scary moment.
Yeah, and that's why it's so important what we do, you know, because we have to establish an alternative media surrounding where people that discover this, what we discovered, can get informed and could get real information. So I think this was also a big boost for activists like us that present the real news on the platforms like YouTube or Facebook or wherever. So it's necessary. And it's getting more and more and more and more. I mean, the situation here in Germany is always getting worse. It's not that the migration crisis was in 2015 and now it stopped. No, it's completely wrong. I think it's about like 8 million so-called refugees came to Germany since then. And it's not stopping. They are like becoming more and more and more. And I mean, in my district where I live, I would say the majority of the people around me are foreigners, or at least they have this migration background. With most of them, I get along quite well. It's no problem. But I mean, I know that there are many problems on the organized crime, you know, the drug trafficking or human trafficking, or this area is in the hands of Arabic clans, and this is a problem. There are some districts where the police doesn't like to go anymore because it's just so dangerous for them. And I mean, we know that there are always these attacks on young girls in Freiburg, in Köthen, in Chemnitz. Okay, that was not a young girl, but a young guy. So it's happening. They are committing crimes. They are committing more crimes than Germans. And this is something that all police statistics say, but it's not discussed here in Germany. You know, if you mention this, you're being called a Nazi. And this is something that I just cannot believe. And it's impossible because they are doing so much harm to us. The Christmas market in Germany now is it resembles a high security area because it's blocked with huge concrete blocks and stuff like this. And there's police patrolling around. This is not Germany anymore, as I know it.
In Britain, we call those diversity barriers, the concrete blocks. Yeah. But it all started with the Berlin truck attack, didn't it? It was a Christmas market in Berlin, I think, in 2016, if I recall correctly.
No, it was last year, wasn't it? Wasn't it 17?
Maybe it was. Maybe it was. I can't remember. It was either 16 or 17. Yeah, it's difficult to recall. There are so many of these things now. It was definitely the first one was in Berlin.
Yeah, but it's so weird because this attack is also so fishy because it just doesn't match up what they tell us and what really happened. I think it's different because the maneuver that the truck must have made to run over this market is just impossible for a big truck. If you go there and if you observe situation, then you see it's just not possible the way how they told us it happened. I think it's also a big lie. Maybe it's, I don't know. So because there was no, I have never heard a victim of this attack speaking out, or the relatives of a victim. They are so faceless, the victims, and it all seems strange to me. Like 9/11, like Sandy Hook, like Boston bombing. I think most of the Islamistic attacks are from secret services or something like this. You know.
But why do you think that they would do these attacks? Why would they stage these things?
Well, because they want to establish a situation of menace, of threat, that we are always in fear, and of course that we they want to establish this right-winged movement and and natured, because they need the two blocks they can push together for a fight. I mean, you know, they always do it. They want to have the chaos, and for this they need this side strong and this side strong. And you know, when they always show us the bad and the horrible Muslims, then we are only worrying about the bad and horrible Muslims that come here to kill us. We don't look behind the curtain and see that there are other horrible and bad people, which I don't want to mention now, but I think you can imagine whom I know. And I think this is the purpose on this. Yeah? People are unsatisfied with their lives, with the situation, and they discover that they are being lied to. But instead of finding out who is really behind all this horrible building of lies and intrigues, we see only the Muslims. Yeah? So we wake up and we are being distracted like from the beginning. And this is what they want to, because they don't want that we really see who is behind all this.
Mm. Yeah. But it's a strange thing, isn't it? Because on the one hand, there is that going on. There is the much bigger story, narrative going on, you know, global powers and so on. But at the same time, we Europeans still have to deal with the Muslims. And you know, maybe we're both, you know, being used, both sides are being used by bigger, higher powers. But at the same time, there is a genuine conflict between, let's say a cultural conflict, cultural discrepancy between us and the Muslims. So it's a strange thing, because we have to deal with it anyway, even if we are being used when we do that.
Yeah, that's right. It's very tricky, because what is happening here, of course, I would say it's a genocide. Yeah? The replacement migration is really killing the people of Europe, the indigenous people of Europe. So, of course, this is also the aim. But maybe they want us to fight against the immigrants one day. I could imagine. Or maybe they just want to divide the German people, so that there are the lefties and there are the alt-right now, and that they fight each other, because it's stupid. It's so obvious, but I would say most of the German people, they don't see the situation. No, they're straight against the Nazis and against the racists, the nationalists. They are pro-refugees. I cannot believe how this is possible. And you know what? Even my sister is engaging in the work against the nationalists and the, I would say, sane people. She is engaging for the refugees and stuff. I was talking to her like hours. She just doesn't listen, or she doesn't want to hear it. And now we haven't talked for a year or so. Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, yeah, it's really bad. There are people, I think they cannot talk about this.
Well, yeah, it is a very scary thing for a normie to hear, because it threatens their whole worldview. It threatens all the things that they take for granted about the world, about life. And it also risks their own sense of identity, like who they are, you know, because they define themselves by being not anti-racist and anti- yes. Identitarian and whatever, and anti-European, anti-white in the end. So that's a crucial part of their identity. So if you tell them, but you know, Europeans are not evil, the white man is not destructive, the German people exist and uh-huh. deserve to survive, all of that scares them, because it's like, if I agree with any of this, I'm going to be a bad person. So it's better that I don't even listen to it.
Yeah. That's a problem. It sucks really deep in their identity, what they think they are. And of course, they define themselves of opposing the bad and the evilness which they find in the Nazis. So, but it's so stupid. But luckily, what I learned through my channel and the emails that I receive, or the mails that I get, or just the encounters when I'm out and on the street and meet people, that there are more and more and more and more waking up. It's so great. Really, last time I was shopping, and the guy at the checkout, he looked at me, and after I paid, he said, "And you know what? Keep up your work. It's great." Yeah. So I never would have guessed that he is on my side, because he's got long hair, and you know. But yeah, he was on my side, and I promised him to not give up. So yeah, I think it's really it's a movement that is happening, that is taking place now, and in this I see a big chance, because now we white people, now we can renew our community and our strength, and we can get even stronger, because we have to face all this this threatening and this insanity around us. And by facing this, we have to establish those coping strategies. And this will make us so much stronger. We will find a way how to deal with this. And then we will renew our society, and it's going to be a better society than it was before. At least we will be way more wise than we used to be, because now we know what is going on and what they have in stock for us.
Yeah, definitely. Let's end by asking, what is the most important or valuable thing that any German could learn? If there was one thing that you could teach every German today, what would it be?
I would say it's that we are not the monsters that most think we are, most Germans think. So we look at the outbreak of the World War II. We learn in school that this was started by the Nazis because they wanted to invade Poland and Russia and stuff. But if you really look into the history, you find that there were so many peace offers made by the Nazis, the so-called Nazis, so many peace offers. And Hitler always wanted a peaceful solution, because he knew what he would risk. And he never wanted a war with England. And after he didn't invade Poland. After he did this, okay, let's call it invasion. I mean, it was a small invasion, but after all, it was still Germany. So maybe it was not an invasion, whatever. So after this, this action in Poland, he called England and said, okay, let's keep it like this, and we will pay for all the costs that Poland has because of our invasion, and then we remain peace. And England didn't want to. England started bombing, and France started invading the West German part. So this is something that is crucial and so important. We didn't start the Second World War. It was necessary, because what happened to the German minority in Poland was horrible. They were being killed, their farms were being burned down, and there was just no solution for this situation. And Poland never wanted to find a solution, because Poland was always supported by England and France, that they should stay strong and not give in any bargaining with Germany. And this is just terrible that we believe we started the Second World War.
It's very clear that the World War II and you know, the Nazis, the National Socialists and so on, World War II seems to still be absolutely dominant in German identity, in the worldview of Germans. It seems that they are guilt-tripped with this very intensely from day one, and so it still occupies this central role in German life and culture and society. Yeah. Even now, it's like native Germans, real Germans are just not allowed to move on from 1945.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that this is what gets us down. And if we first discover this and then start to find our own culture, because we almost lost it. We almost occupied the American mainstream culture. We hear the American music. We watch the American movies, and we drink Coca-Cola also here, you know. So this is just
guilty.
Yeah, it's all right. So this is something that really occupied Germany, and we have to find our own culture again because it's so beautiful and so rich. This is something that I start to discover now. I discover old German songs. They are just great, and they speak of such a wisdom that I, well, miss in English songs. Maybe because I don't understand English songs this well, but I understand German songs perfectly. They are in my mother tongue. And I think it would be so much better for young Germans if they listen to German songs, because they are crazy about Taylor Swift and stuff, but they don't understand what she sings. And what she sings is just horrible, you know? They don't understand it, and when they understand it, they think it's all right to sing this stuff. Or Miley Cyrus.
Yes, it's poison. It poisons them.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And our own music, our own culture would heal us. So we have to get back to this, and we have to learn what is our culture. And also this these days now, yeah, Christmas. What is Christmas? No, it's the Yule Fest here. No, and it's much older than the Christian holidays. So yeah, we have to find all this back.
What do you like most about German culture? And I don't mean I obviously don't mean modern German culture. I mean, what do you value about Germany?
I mean, it seems a bit
It's a very broad question. I'm just wondering where you would take it.
Yeah. So I would say Germans are just great. I mean, what we invented through the centuries, you know, the architecture, the technology, the music, also the dances, is just great. And when you trace it back to the native Germans, I mean, when was it the Langobards and the Gothics and the Vandals and stuff. I mean, they observed the sun and the moon, and they found out about the cosmic laws and the cycles of the sun and everything. They were intelligent, and I would say it was like a very developed culture then. And then came Christianity and fought against us, against our grandfathers. But we never really gave up our own culture. So it survived through the centuries, despite the Christian invention. So this is also great. And I would say we are still very progressive and always trying to find new solutions for the situation that we face now. Sometimes with this diesel technology or the autonomic car, what is it called? The cars that drive without driver, you know?
Yeah, they are driverless cars, the automatic cars. Yeah.
Well, I would say Germans didn't really do a great job in this direction, but I'm not such a big fan of this automatic cars. I like driving cars, and this is also something great of Germany. The cars that we invented and that we are still inventing and building, they are great. I would say they are the greatest cars in the world. And this is not only my opinion, that's the opinion of many people around the world. So we could really give the world something. And the philosophers of Germany, Kant, Hegel, Fichte, what they found out was just mind-blowing, because they described the situation that we have. They described the ideologic way and the materialistic. And the Germans are on this idealistic way side, and our opponents from the Roman Empire, they are on the materialistic side. And so we could really increase this idealistic way of life again here, because it's also poisoning us. Yeah, the Western economy and the capitalism.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean. The Western culture is sort of Anglo-American culture.
Exactly.
I think if there are people like the Germans who need idealism, need to be idealistic. They need to have ideals. I think that materialistic Anglo-American culture is quite damaging, quite destructive for such people.
Yeah, exactly. And since we are so, well, it sounds a bit, I don't know, maybe overdone, but so innocent and so naive, many Germans, they cannot imagine that there are so mean people in the world, that they really want to poison us on purpose, you know, or that they want to invade us, or that they want to
corrupt you.
Yeah, corrupt, yeah, or just kill us. So they cannot imagine, because they think of themselves, and they would never do it. So they think nobody else could ever do it. But there are those bad people in the world, and they want to exterminate the idealistic people, and that are mostly the white people. And this is the situation now. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's leave it at that, because I think that's a good note to end it at. Is there anything else you'd like to tell people about your channel and what you do and how they can contact you, perhaps?
Okay, yes, great. So my channel is Der Volkslehrer on YouTube, and I always need people who can translate my videos into English, or maybe French or Russian, because now I have viewers from around the world, and I only have very few videos already made with subtitles, or I think I have one or two in English, but it would be great if somebody could really do some translation on my videos. So yeah, this would be something. If you want to get in touch with me, my email address is always below my videos. It's der-volkslehrer@protonmail.com, but you will find it under the videos. Yeah, this is something that would be great to get in touch. And I also want to do a trip around the world, maybe next year, to visit the German exclaves that are around the world. In South America is a big one, but I mean also in USA and in Canada as well, and in East Europe. And well, yeah, maybe one day I drop by and we could meet up. So would be interesting.
That would be nice. One last thing that I should have asked at the start, and I apologize. What does Der Volkslehrer mean? What does that translate to in English?
Okay, so Volk is people, and Lehrer is teacher. So I'm the teacher of the people, the German people.
Right, that's nice. That's great. Yeah. Okay, well, I hope people look at your channel, but of course it is mostly German speakers who will benefit from it just now, but I certainly hope that people volunteer to do translations for you, because that would help your channel to grow and reach a broader audience. But okay, in the meantime, this has been a very interesting conversation, so thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Colin. It was great speaking to you.
Okay, good. All right, well, thank you, Der Volkslehrer, and I hope that you at home enjoyed this, and I'll be back in an hour with Mark Collett, I believe it is. Let me just check. Yes, Mark Collett. So, thank you, and I'll see you then.
Bye-bye.